Welcome back to our listeners. You are tuning in to another episode of Reset for Women, and I am your host, Lori Carice. Today, we have with us Joy Rowland, certified financial coach. And today, we're going to reset your earnings. And our topic is how to stop under-earning and how to recognize and appreciate your value. So welcome to the show, Joy.
Thank you so much, Lori. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you so much for being here. These are great topics. You do not need to be an entrepreneur. You know, all of us ladies are earning in some capacity for survival, right? So, you know, don't underestimate you. Appreciate your value, especially if you are building a business. You know, maybe pricing does matter. How much time you put into your conversations and your relationships with clients, but also how to stop under-earning. I'll tell you, this is coming at a very timely time for me anyway. I think the pandemic really taught me to have multiple revenue streams. I was solely in the event space, first to shut down, last to reopen. And during that time is when I really scrambled for different ways to connect and earn while my actual events were down. And I think I've taken that mindset beyond the pandemic, like always have other little areas, leveraging my relationship. Can I be a referral partner? Maybe I'm earning just a little there, but is there more growth? You know, raising my rates while I'm going to the grocery store and paying much higher rates and pumping gas. It's like my rates are going to have to go up also. But I think definitely having all those multiple revenue streams is something was my big takeaway from the pandemic. So as we're jumping into a new year, you and I are connecting here at the beginning of a new year. I know podcasts live on. Whenever you're listening, we like to keep this evergreen content. But of course, top of mind coming into a new year is how can you improve what you've been doing? Where can I change? A lot of things like resolutions are fitness related, but I always look at my financial goals and see where I can make some tweaks. So I think this is a great topic, and I'm going to hand it over to you. How to stop under-earning, how to recognize and appreciate your value. Joy.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laurie. Yes, you were so spot on there. And I think a lot of women at this point recognize the value of earning to keep up with expenses. And I think earning to keep up with expenses is like the baseline. We need to set our goals even higher. We need to think about abundance. We need to think about creating wealth, maybe not only for ourselves, but for our families, right? For our kids. Okay, so how to stop under-earning? First of all, I want to be very clear. What's under-earning? Because people might have different definitions for what under-earning is. So here's my definition. Under-earning is earning less than you're capable of earning when you desire to earn more. The emphasis being on the words capable and desire. So it's okay if you are a woman, you're a mom, you work extra on the side and you just want to have extra and you're happy with what you're earning. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you desire to earn more and you are earning less. Okay, so what causes under-earning? The issue with under-earning is you can often want to look outside of yourself to blame things. And looking for external justification. For example, my boss wouldn't give me a raise, or the economy is bad, or as a nurse, I can only earn $100,000, for example. So all of those reasons you give are external to yourself. The overall belief, I think, of what causes under-earning is we feeling like we are not worth it. So it boils down to feeling valued, feeling worthy of money. And there is no way to put this because in our history as women, we've always played the supporting role in the family traditionally. So you go to school, you grow up, and you're expected to get married and take care of the household while the man goes out to make the money. So in some way, we've kind of tied our value to just being at home, right? So it takes a mindset shift to move away from that, to understand that you can actually earn good money by the value you give. So to summarize, the causes of under-earning is worthiness and feeling like you deserve money. Undervaluing yourself is another cause, right? A lack of self-confidence mixed with self-judgment, and limiting beliefs around money. This is a perfect recipe for under-earning. Okay, so the issue is that we need to recognize that we are under-earning, first of all. The third reason I think we under-earn as women is not having goals, not having strategies, doubting too much, looking to the past for evidence of what's possible for us in the future, and giving up too easily, indulging in overwhelm, not asking for help. You get the idea. So all of this ties into why we under-earn as women. So enough of defining under-earning. I know everyone is interested. How do I stop under-earning? So here's the thing. The first thing I suggest is for you to take a very honest look at the excuses you give, the justification you give yourself for under-earning. The justification I have heard, like the example I gave, was my boss wouldn't give me a raise. There aren't good jobs out. The economy is bad. Another popular one is I live in a small town. Companies don't hire working moms. I don't know enough about XYZ, fill in the blank. So maybe I don't know enough about money. I don't know enough about finance. I don't know enough about accounting, etc., depending on your field. Or you say clients won't pay higher because the economy is bad. So all of these justifications you give yourself, I want you to analyze each of them. And then I want you to question the justification. If you've been under-earning for a while, these justifications might feel completely true. But the key here is challenging the justification. When you challenge a justification, it means you are open to being wrong in order to get the results you want. The second thing I think that you need to do to stop under-earning is to stop undervaluing yourself, your intelligence, and your capabilities. As women, we tend to shy away from the spotlight. When people give us compliments, we tend to just play it down, right? We don't like being in the spotlight. But I'm not trying to encourage you to change your feminine aspects. I'm just saying you need to be open and you need to be able to express and articulate the value you bring to the marketplace, not your value as a human being, because all of us human beings are infinitely worthy. I'm talking about your business value, the value you bring to your employers, the value you bring to the workplace. So if you look at your ability to earn as the exchange of value, then how could you be more purposeful with your time, effort, and skill in order to create value? Because the salary or the income you earn right now is as a result of the perceived value you bring to the marketplace. So you can increase your value. If your boss tells you he's not going to give you a raise, you could ask, okay, what do I need to do to earn $200,000? He'll tell you, okay, if you do this, do this, do this, then I think you'll be worth $200,000 to the company. So understand the value you bring. And if you ask for a raise and you're not giving a raise, ask your employer, what can I do to bring the value that'll make me earn the money I want to earn? So that's my tip for you on how you can stop under-earning.
I think a lot of people might
Now,
listen to this and say, I'm just going to start a business.
right. Yes. Not too bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times when you do feel undervalued and underappreciated, you feel underwhelmed in doing a good job as well. And you're like, I could do this. I could do this better. Maybe I can start my own business. That's not why I started my own business. I mean, I started my own business like 15, 16 years ago under pressure, under stress of my marriage, unfortunately, with a baby in my arms. And I just had a goal and I powered through it and a business emerged and grew. But it is with my own passion that I continue to power through. But I also have outside employment, actually just within the last year, because timing is everything. And, coming out of a pandemic, my business was actually really hard hit by COVID, being in the events industry, and I recovered quite a bit of it. But at the same time, I was like, "Eh, this no longer serves me." You kind of go through that, and what served me was actually having that stability, going back to an industry which I've been a part of for a long time and really enjoy, and connecting with clients, and it helped me increase my earnings actually. And sometimes that I do question my own values. So I like what you're saying about asking those questions. What can I do to maximize my earnings? I would actually even sit there and write it down. What do you think you can do, and present it to the person who's in charge of whether or not that can happen, he or she, in that role. But come up with, can I take on a bigger role? Can I do this? Can I participate in a mentorship program? Can I, what are these boxes I can check in order to reach that goal over the next amount, a period of time? Rather than just asking, what can I do? Maybe they're not even sure what all of your capabilities are, and you need to share, like, hey, I have this experience. Do you think this would be value to our team? And in what way could this put me in a leadership role?
Yes, absolutely. And it's very key to have your facts before you go into the meeting with your manager. So what I encourage women to do is to just gather your notes. So if you've had performance review in the last couple of months and that review was excellent, you bring that to the meeting. You also need to bring in what you've actually done in the team. Like, for example, if you worked on a project where you were very influential in increasing profits for the company, bringing all of those to the meeting with your manager, because at the end of the day, your manager is a busy person herself or himself. So he might not really keep track of your performance on the team. But when you come with all of these and you show him or her, you are able to make a case for why you deserve a raise. And yes, like Laurie said, you need to come up with a plan of, I suggest you come up with a plan to say, this is my plan for the future on the team, because at the end of the day, you don't want to give your manager the impression that you're planning to leave. You want to come and say, yes, this is what I've contributed to the business in the past, but these are my goals for the future on the team. This is how I plan to do even more on the team. So bringing all of that ideas in the into the meeting will give your manager the impression that, oh, this is someone who is loyal, this is someone who values our work here, and this is a talent I want to keep on the team.
Right. Always put your best foot forward. Don't let anybody, be lead them to believe that you're leaving or that you want their job.
No.
You don't want to think make them think I'm after your job. But that you're just a continued, strength in that link of team success. So yeah, I mean, so appreciating maybe even you need to toot your own horn once in a while too, as far as make a little list of your achievements. That's another thing I like to do, as far as goal setting. Maybe even have some reflection about what your achievements were and how you want to continue with those achievements, capitalize on them. How update your LinkedIn, even if you're not
Yes.
using it for job searches, just putting it out there, kind of putting it out into the universe. This is what I've done. This is what I've accomplished. And also maybe even take a class. You don't actually have to take a lot of big paid courses all the time, but there's a lot of classes that you can participate in and link those achievements that you've participated, even if you're just auditing a course. It makes you feel really empowered when you learn a new skill, and you can even go to your boss and say, "Hey, I took this course on a weekend. I did it on my own, and here's some takeaways. I'd love to share it with the team." Start to insert yourself as being somebody on the team that's in a leadership role, or a coach, or a trainer, that go to that value.
Yes, absolutely. And when you talked about LinkedIn, this is something I did when I was an employee. Whenever I finished a project, I would request my colleagues and my bosses on that project to write a LinkedIn recommendation for me. So it's on my LinkedIn profile. If you go into my LinkedIn profile, I think I have over 20 recommendations from different people on different projects I've worked on. So that helps you to keep track of like the value you bring to the marketplace. And many times people reach out to me just based off of those recommendations to poach me. Like when I was an employee, recruiters would reach out to me to ask if I was in the market looking for a new project to work on. So that's one strategy I'll recommend as well. Always get people to write recommendations for you on LinkedIn.
That's a good point. That's something I haven't asked for. I always think about testimonial for my business, but why not testimonial for yourself? That's a really interesting point. That's going to be my takeaway here. So, Joy, I understand you have a podcast. Tell me about your podcast.
My podcast is called It's Possible. And I started a podcast just to encourage women to just borrow belief, right? I came from a very disadvantaged background. I was born in sub-Saharan Africa and in terrible poverty. I left my country when I was 25 in search of a better life. I couldn't speak English. Imagine a 25-year-old girl. So all of those struggles, I overcame them and my limiting beliefs around money, I was able to change all of those to become the woman I am today. So that's what I share on the podcast, just inspiration and encouragement for women to dream bigger and to be comfortable talking about money. I think money is still a very taboo topic, and especially for women, I think that's what keeps us not growing as much as our men, right? To be comfortable discussing money and to discuss that you deserve to be well paid.
You know what? I'm not uncomfortable talking about money. I feel like I'm talking about it all the time now. I have two teenagers. One is already planning her journey to leave me and go away to college, and planning her sweet 16 and getting her into a vehicle. No, I'm not buying her a brand new BMW. Her new car is going to be her own purchase. But I've got a daughter turning 16, so all I see every day is dollar signs of where all my money is going to. I mean, let's see, I just signed her up for driver's training. That was a little package. I just put a deposit on her sweet 16 brunch. That's going to be quite a little package. I'm like, oh boy. So I have no problem talking about money. I mostly talk to myself. That is actually my spending habits and my increase in spend, whether it's economy related or the growth of my children and their needs. I'm now a household of like three women's needs with one household income. It pushes me to do it better, create a plan. I
Yes.
mean, I actually made a grid just the other day of all leveraging all my relationships and potential income that I feel is on the table, and I'm just not doing anything about it. I've got to set an action plan. So now I'm going to go after the low-hanging fruit, which is the easiest one, implement it, and then go to the next, go to the next. Because I know I have money on the table.
Yes.
A lot of it for me is time management, or I feel scattered. It's just not organized. So I'm just getting organized. I can pay for the Sweet 16. I can help my daughter with a car and car insurance. I can get my kids off to college. I just have to keep focused and have a plan and not be overwhelmed, because it's very, you could get very overwhelmed when it comes to expenses and your finances and whether or not you're earning or not. And this economy is shaking up whether or not your job is stable. A lot of big companies are going through layoffs, so that gets to be scary. It's not always the best time to look for a new job in this type of economy. Maybe start a little side hustle. If that's in you, that's not for everybody. I've always talked to my mom about doing something on the side, and she's like, no, I'm sticking with this. She doesn't want to break out into that space. And I get it. So it's not for everybody. So I appreciate that you have a podcast. It's possible, and listeners should tune in. I'm actually going to try to grab a few episodes from you after this, and we'll play it on 360 Talk Radio for Women. So look for that, ladies, on our schedule, on our app. And for our podcast listeners, of course, we've got show notes on how to find joy. As far as our radio-only listeners, what's the best way to connect with you?
I'm on Facebook. It's Joy Roland on Facebook, and on Instagram is Joy Roland Official.
Wonderful. Joy, thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing your financial expertise and giving our ladies a reset here today.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy and a privilege to be on your show, Laurie.
Thank you. And you've been listening to another episode of Reset for Women.